Podcast, the podcast that it's not about length, but how you use it. I am Sean Barnes. Here with me, as always, is the one, the only, Jay Leonard. How are you today?
Man, I'm excited.
Yeah, you've been a busy guy this week.
I'm a busy guy. I'm a busy man.
Got a big shindig at your homestead this week.
It's true. There's going to be a shindig. It's going to be a real hootenanny.
Yeah, a real barn burner. It's going to go well into
the night.
Fucking
hope it's a garage burner, to be honest with you. I'm trying to get rid of that thing.
Last year when you had this barbecue, Kieran and I came over, but we had another party we had to go to.
Yes.
So we left and we came back later in the night.
It's true.
And the best part about that is that we scared the shit out of your kid. Your kid and Chris's kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, the stranger danger thing actually works, I guess.
I guess. That's a thing.
You just showed up at the door like a creep in the dark.
Well, we rolled up outside, and we were, like, parked outside your house. And we were like, are they still here? Is the party still, like, happening? What's going on? You know, but you guys had moved indoors at that point. So
yes.
We were like, we don't know, but we said we'd be back. They said to come, whatever. And I'm like, so we're sitting out there. And the next thing you know, Chris comes barreling outside. Just me looking out in the car and, like, looking at us like he's going to start some shit. And he's just like, oh, it's Sean. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
He's a bear of a man.
Yeah, too. And apparently your kid had thought that we were predators.
Yeah.
That we were there to start some shit.
I told her everybody wants to hurt her. I told her the world's a cruel, awful place. And
as you should.
Just engineered to cause her pain. So I'm glad to see that after 12 years, that shit's finally starting to stick.
You know? But it's now year two. Of this wonderful barbecue.
Yes, year two is upon us.
It is.
Mere hours away.
Did you figure out the inflatable slide situation?
The inflatable slide situation. So the guy, I called the guy to get the inflatable because, you know, there's big ones, there's small ones, there's all kinds. They were all sold out. Everything's sold out. Mm-hmm. So I called him just to triple check. And he's like, you know, I ordered two more. They're small, but you can have one if you want one. I was like, oh, fucking A. Like, I'm going to be kid's hero, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're
going
to get this thing. Then I see a post on his Facebook page 2 days ago that said that the freight company lost the two slides he ordered.
Yeah.
So panic ensues.
Of course.
And then today he called and said he found them, so it's all good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, man. Zero hour. Heroics.
Yeah. We're a wild card move.
I know. And he's going to drop it off a day early.
So you get one full day of slide to yourself.
So tomorrow night it's going to be vodka flume.
Exactly.
In my front yard. It's going to be pretty fucking rad.
So here with us this week are two of my favorite people. That's the only time I'll say it, so calm yourselves. My wonderful sister-in-law and her new husband.
Hey.
Hey.
Brand new husband, therefore my brother-in-law, Keely Sheridan Jorge Luna. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. we're here to talk about a movie you guys made.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting because I don't know if you knew, we've made some shit and we talk about it probably more than we should on the podcast. Last week, we wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. We were going to go on a 2-minute tangent about like, hey, we're wrapping up. Everything's great. And we went on for another hour just talking about ourselves.
An hour.
So, these things happen. But now we're going to spend an hour talking about you guys. So that's very exciting. So if you could give us like a quick, brief synopsis about what your project is and was when you started and what it is now and where things are going.
Totally.
Essentially everything. Tell us everything.
All of it, but a quick synopsis. You want to do it, Jorge? It was Jorge's idea first. Jorge wrote this script on his own. How many years ago?
I mean, I wrote the first 13 pages in 2013 or 12 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, actually, when we started dating, you and I, then we were toying with the idea of like making something together, like shooting something together. And then I showed you a couple of short films that I had written, and you said this is the one that we should work on.
Yeah.
And then
we did.
Kept on going.
So, in what capacity would you? I mean, I know the answer, but like, in what capacity did you guys work together?
So we, the original, it was 13 pages, the original script.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then I just tore it apart. We sat together. And the more that because when you write something on your own, it's just your brain and your eyes looking at it.
Of course.
And then you add another brain to ask questions and be like, well, this is interesting. This doesn't make sense. And so we really picked it apart. but it also expanded it. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up with like 25 or 26 pages.
Yeah.
And we had never really shot anything on our own before. So we're like, oh, that's like a 25, 26 minute movie. But then it turned into a feature. And so now we have this big old movie on our hands.
Big old movie.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Big chunk of movie.
Bigchunkofmovie.net.
But what it's about, you want to know what it's about?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a sort of semi-autobiographical, because Jorge wrote it, retelling of his relationship with his son. And so it's his father and son who live far apart. And to cope with the distance between the two of them, the father starts fantasizing about this planet that he's hearing things about on the news, this new discovery. And he kind of fantasizes about it being this place that he can go to be with his son and have this relationship that he wants. And what happens is he ends up kind of like retreating to this fantasy place at the expense of his real life relationship. So he chooses to go to the fake place more because that's easier and more what he wants. But then it comes at the cost of his real life relationship. And then he has to choose. But you have to watch the movie to find out what happens, because we're not going to give it away.
That's the only reason we got you in here, so we didn't have to watch it. No.
Oh, right.
No, Jay and I have both watched the rough cut.
It's fucked up, Sean.
It is. I have a reputation.
Fucking piece of garbage.
So as you said, this is semi-autobiographical piece about you, Jorge, and your relationship with your son. So, like, what kind of inspired that then? Because you guys do have a long distance relationship, right?
I do. I've been in New York City for, you know, almost 14 years, and then my kid was in Puerto Rico with his mom. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I guess the script came out of the impossibility of this relationship. It was all, long distance. Literally, I wrote letters, like physical, actual snail mail letters to him and sent them. And so it came about, the genesis of it was that, the not being able to physically have him constantly. And then I kind of like used, I don't know, this script as a purge of sorts, or as a channel, or as a medium or vehicle.
There it is.
And
he said he's going to say vehicle three times during this interview. So that's
vehicle. That's one. Okay. And then that's that. I mean, I don't know what else.
I was lucky enough to see a rough cut of it. You guys were generous to send it over and stuff. And I texted Keely. That movie, it like hit me on an emotional level that was so intense that no shit, when it was over, I literally went upstairs and I laid in bed with my daughter. Like I had to do that.
It was
so heartbreaking, you know, to have that. To feel that distance, that distance was created in that movie, and it just resonated so deep. Like, you guys got something really special there. So
thanks, man.
Thank you. Because it made me look like a better father for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Almost 13 welcome. Minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you guys shot a bunch of that up here, right? Upstate?
We did.
Yeah.
Here in Amsterdam, New York.
Yes, in the Dome.
Yeah.
How was the shoot? What was that like?
It was great. We shot fast, and it was...
Yeah, you guys had a short schedule.
We had a really tight schedule, and a lot of pretty ambitious stuff, because it was in the middle of the summer, and everything was exterior that we shot out here.
Yeah.
And it was scorchers. It was 95... 100 degrees.
Yeah, it was hot.
And it rained a lot, too, while you were up here, right?
One of the days, yeah.
This was about a year ago now, right?
Yeah, it was just over a year ago. It was also tricky because we were shooting in one of the locations really depended on there being water in this creek out in the woods. And so it rained the first day, and the creek was like bumping, and water was perfect. Everything looked great. And then it got hot for 2 days. And then when we went to reshoot there was like no water.
Dried up.
The creek had dried up. So we had to like change locations, and it ended up working out fine. We almost like didn't get half of our stuff because we couldn't find a part of the creek deep enough to shoot.
Wow.
But it was good. And our crew was from the city. Everybody drove up, and we kind of like camped at my family's houses.
Right.
And It was great. It was long days, but especially when you have people from out of town, like you want to just get it done and cram as much into, you know, the time that you have. So yeah, it was, we like a bunch of us got poison ivy. Somebody got cut by barbed wire. We got a couple of ticks. But otherwise it was fun.
The crew that bleeds together.
That's right.
Something together.
Something.
Bleeds.
I've heard that.
Wins Oscars together.
Yes.
That's hey, man. Years.
Hey, man. So what was the working relationship between between you guys on set? How was that as a writer and a director and producers and, you know, obviously your actual romantic relationship? What was that like? How was that to balance? Because Sean and I are each other's throats all the time.
Constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
You should go first.
I don't know, because we have a very gifted DP, and we defaulted to him a lot, and like we kind of like used him as not a, as a referee, but like kind of like, all right, what does Joe think?
And then right, he would be the deciding vote.
Kind of, because he like pictorically and like image wise, he is like he chose like composition wise, and you know, I would have to relinquish and compromise, and many things would trigger kind of like a, oh, hold on, no, I have something to say. But I would oftentimes try to like just keep it down and keep it like tamed and not say much, or say it at the end of day to see if we can just correct it the next day. There were moments in which Keeley told me like, I'm the director. And I had to like step back and just, she's the director, so it is what it is. So
I think the shoot was a lot easier than post-production has been, honestly, because like in the shoot, you're so focused on, you just have to get your stuff. And so at the end of the day, you're just focused on getting it in the can, and like you're making fast decisions and you're compromising, but it's fine. Yeah. But then like this weird sort of expansive post-production process that could just go on forever, I think has been more difficult because we both work other jobs, obviously. Yeah. And so then like it, you kind of choose oftentimes between like, okay, is this a relationship evening or is this a movie evening? And then if you have deadlines, most evenings become movie evenings. And now we're at a place where it's mostly in other people's hands. It's in somebody's composing right now. Somebody else has just finished Foley and is working on final mix. So we were able to hand it off, but that's intense. Nice. You have to have to set boundaries and separate, because otherwise it could just take over your whole life.
We edited for 10 months.
Yeah,
we were in the editing room for 10 months, so that's a lot.
Yeah.
And what was that like? Because anything we've worked on at this, Jay edits everything.
Yeah.
And but he's, you know,
so much
editor director
for that.
So in that situation though,
I just because it would be harder for me to not edit it.
Yeah.
It'd be hard for me to sit, you know what I mean?
So that's what I'm getting
at. You also
shoot to cut.
Like you know exactly what the cut is. Yes.
Right. So to that point, what's it like having your DP is also editing, correct?
Yes.
Right.
What's their editing room like with both of you kind of, not to make it sound like that you're hovering over him, but you know, what's that? How do you guys get through that? How do you communicate that?
It's super collaborative.
While allowing him to still, as an editor, have kind of his say.
It's really collaborative. I think it helps that we don't just drop in every once in a while. We are there every second he's cutting something.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the reasons that we are doing that with this movie is because there's very little on-screen dialogue and a lot of text messaging and voicemails, which have not been set in stone yet. And so the movie is changing a lot as we're editing it, a lot, as we watch the footage, as we see what we actually captured, as we put things together and realize, like, there's this whole other puzzle that we... It's both a gift and a curse, because, like, when you have a lot of dialogue, you kind of need to cut the way you shot it, right? Like, you need your conversations to make sense.
Yeah.
But with us, half of our dialogue is not yet set in stone because it's a text message or a voiceover.
It's exciting, though.
It's super exciting because we watch it and we change
totally
it.
Totally remake.
Oh, yeah.
And we did. Have.
Several times.
We've been updating the script, and it's a different movie than what we wrote originally.
Absolutely.
But I think it's really been more of an energy of like being in the trenches with him. Like, we watch all the footage together with him. We come in with ideas for cuts. We're not just expecting him to like cut something and show it to me. We're there doing it with him.
And still kind of balancing that relationship, so it's not like meat puppet. Like,
exactly.
You know, shave this off 3 frames and do this.
I think also because it's ambitious what we did, and we didn't quite know what we were doing. So we're also like problem solving together. Yeah. It's not like we have all of this perfect footage that we could cut together a million ways. It's, you know, like a lot of it's problem solving. Yeah. So we're all together like, well, shit, I should have caught that before. Like, we can't use that take. And then we have to just kind of like patch together on the back end. And so that feels more collaborative.
Than, oh, like, yeah. Like solving
my
a problem.
Idea versus your idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So what was the, so what was that like? I mean, obviously, we don't have to talk actual budget here, but it wasn't, it was less than $1 million.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Yes, between zero and $1 million.
We don't mind talking actual budget, actually, because we crowdfunded a lot of it. It's all pretty public.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, what was the budget?
I think that we're at about 15,000.
15 grand.
Yeah.
So not a lot of money to make a movie.
No, right. No. And also, I should add that, like, we originally intended to make a short film.
Yeah, so we crowdfunded
we crowdfunded for a short film, and then until we shot the whole thing, and all of a sudden we ended up with about 40 minutes in, you know, with a quote unquote final cut, then we're like, okay, I think we either cut it to 15 minutes,
right,
or we shoot more and make it an actual hour long film, right. And we did that actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then if not a lot of money, $15,000 was not a lot of money just for a short, let alone for a feature. So yeah.
Yeah, on location.
And, yeah, totally, exactly.
And everybody got paid. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Not a lot, but.
Sure. No, but that's a feat, man. So what were some of the challenges that you guys faced? I guess, I mean, you shot a chunk of it in the city, in your apartment, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which that shit is amazing, by the way, that is so beautifully shot. Joe did. So, I mean, it's fucking arresting.
You.
Some of that stuff is just like the balcony stuff, the fire escape stuff.
Thank
and
you,
Jesus Christ. So, but I mean, you know, you need to spread the money out. You're up here, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, and you've got people up here, you've got gear. So what are some of the challenges when you're away from home? And you've got X amount of dollars that you're trying to spread. You know, I guess I'm looking for war stories to commiserate with because everything is miserable for us all the time.
Okay, well, so like the first thing that comes to my mind, you helped us out with actually. It's our sound guy and our producer who was so busy getting all of our gear and helping with the logistics and driving his camper up and everything, forgot what was it? Like the mic cover.
The dead cat, yeah.
And we were supposed to be using it in a couple of hours and we realized the night before we didn't have it.
Literally, yeah.
So thankfully we had you guys to call and borrow that. But you know, stuff like, because we are sort of remote, right? Where's the nearest place that you can rent camera gear?
There isn't.
Exactly.
Like a few blocks away from your apartment, I think.
We had, like what we had, and then you guys. So that was scary, but great.
What's funny is that's not the first time Jay's been called to borrow that, too.
Oh, that specific thing?
The last time it was the mic and that specific thing.
Oh, the mic and the...
Yeah. But yes, that's totally. Totally.
I don't know, like 11th hour, like, oh shit, we don't have this.
Right.
I know someone who does.
Which is crazy when you put so much prep into like planning every single detail and then like one little thing is missing.
I knew that feeling. I saw, you came to my house to pick it up.
I did.
And I recognized that look on your face because that has been me so many times. I can't fucking believe that we are on the edge of disaster right now.
Right.
God, it's, I recognize that totally. That's amazing. Yeah. Glad to help.
And then also because one of our it's a three actor movie, one but primarily two actors, and one of them at the time was 13.
Yeah.
And you can't shoot kids like you can shoot adults. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of count on like friendship and camaraderie and like, oh, I know this sucks, but let's just shoot for 14 hours.
Right.
But a kid just shuts down.
Through. Yeah.
They just fall asleep. And so like balancing, we had so little time to get everything. And we had to really plan and be smart with Otto's coverage so that he was like fresh and ready and focused.
Yeah. Right. And it's important to point out that like this isn't some, you know, kid that you found that, you know, through casting and stuff. Like
he's Jorge's son.
This is your son.
Kid,
so like he's not just showing up to set like, all right, let's do this. Like he's been with you and through this every step of the way as you're on your way up here.
Exactly.
Like going through. And then it's like on top of it, like, all right, kiddo. Now you need to start acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was that like?
Like
as a dad, you know, I mean, was there ever a moment where you looked at him like another actor, like you guys were peers in the same project?
Yeah. Yeah,
God,
of course.
That's great.
it was very weird. And there were moments, especially this one scene that's like text heavy. And I would forget my lines. I'd be like, what's my line now? All right.
And he would feed it to you.
And he would like feed it to me because he knew it.
Yeah.
He must have loved it.
He has. Oh, yeah. Because now he has the upper hand.
Right.
No, but he has one of those brains that is just like, all right, what do I say? And you go through the scene once. Okay, let's do it again. Second time. And boom, he knows it. It doesn't matter how much text he knows it.
That's
and
great.
So then I'm like, like quasi intimidated. And, you know, I'm the dad, but I'm also like a scene partner trying to remain vulnerable, trying to remain open for him. It was great.
What a trip.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there ever at any point where Keely as a director maybe gave a direction to Otto and you, instead of as being another actor, as the dad, were like, what'd you just tell my son to do? Like,
it's not what
I
would do.
No, I mean,
oh, that's good.
I would step back. Like the actor role in me would say, shut it, step back, shut the fuck up. She's the director. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I would like, all right, no. And he's fine. I know Keely will take care of it.
They have a great relationship. So it's like, it's not like it's a situation where like, they were like butting heads, I would imagine. You know what I mean?
No.
Most of it. I also was very, I think maybe more so than anyone else, just because I have worked a lot with kids. I was very, very conscious and like protective of Oldo's time and how much time we had him in front of the camera and how much downtime he had and like really trying to nurture him so that he felt comfortable.
Yeah. How do you do that?
I think like we actually didn't rehearse Oldo very much at all. Because I felt like he could probably do it, but like constantly pumping him full of like snacks and sugar and just like doesn't intuitively feel
that
like you're taking care of him. But yeah, I know. And also like building in rests when and that was the hardest thing when the rest of the crew was like, no, let's move on to the next shot.
Yeah.
And you can see, cause with kids, like if they start fading, they're gone.
Yeah.
Like he could pull it through, but we look at like half of our coverage and Otto's like melting in the background.
Yeah.
He's just tired and kids can't fake not being tired. You just can't. So I feel like I was pretty
excellent.
Nice to Otto.
Yeah, that's gotta be tough as a director because I know in our projects I hate to be the guy who's pushing for another hour. Like I know we're all exhausted and I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but let's just get this shit done. But not having that option, I feel like that would be frustrating sometimes, you know? And then feeling the pressure of the rest of the crew as well, who feels the clock ticking, right? Because it's the clock that's ultimately your enemy. Yeah, but that's...
The temperature, like we're outdoors. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we have plenty of everything for everyone. But
then on top of that, didn't you also shoot some scenes like very early in the morning and it was freezing cold, right?
We have like one
where
what
you
ended
were at
up
the lake.
Exactly. Yeah. Was supposed to be kind of like the big finale scene and ended up getting cut in very differently. We had Otto walking into the lake, into Pine Lake at 6 o'clock in the morning and it was our first shoot day.
It was very cold.
Because it was the only day we could get them to close the beach. And he had to walk into the water.
Champion.
Oh, yeah.
Fully clothed.
He did it. Crushed it.
It's a beautiful shot. He turns around. Yeah, he's weeping and it's real tears because he's freezing cold.
Yeah.
But that was that was our first one too. I also knew it would be the hardest and I wanted to get it done with. Yeah. I would much rather have the hard stuff done and then like coast into the easy stuff.
Totally.
Than be squeezing the last drops out of people and needing it to be like really juicy stuff.
Also like Joe, like our DP was so incredible with Otto because like it's very deliberate that we chose him for this project because he has a very similar situation with his own son that lives in California and he lives in New York. And he took care of Otto in such a beautiful way. And, you know, just pepping him up and just like keeping him engaged, especially that day at Pine Lake in which you could just see Otto, his lips kind of almost turning purple. And we're like, okay, this is borderline child abuse.
Right.
I'm going to go to jail. So no. But he was incredible. Yeah. We're very lucky.
Did you get the opportunity to right the wrongs of previous like directors being a director for the first time and be like, this is how I would do it and really got to pull the
bats. Be carefully setting you up.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that shit.
I'm ready for it. I mean, hey, wait, were you a previous director at that point for me?
No. Oh, just no,
yes.
Not for you. Well, oh, it was I had done the movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about you the whole time. No, that's Jay.
Funny. I didn't mean me. I just mean, you know, you got to run the show your way.
Yeah, totally.
And did you, you know, was it rewarding, I guess, as an actor?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think it was rewarding in that like I mentioned with Otto, but with Jorge too, and with Yoko, our other actor, got to really prioritize. Because in film, right, like the actors are the last piece you put in. You put everything else into place before you put the actors in. And then in some ways, there's so much already moving and you just need them to kind of like pop in and do their part.
Yeah.
And I feel like because I was working with Jorge on the script the whole time, we were already kind of like coaching and talking through what emotionally the you know, like the roadmap was.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting to like build in time and really, our crew was great, but in moments where we had to, like really making space for the actors to settle and to be ready and to not feel rushed, even when I was panicking and feeling super rushed, it was rewarding. Like it felt really nice to be able to make a good space for them to do their work. And I think it shows in their performances because they were able to open up and didn't feel like the grind.
Yeah, you got to protect them from it.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
And a super small crew, right?
Very small. Myself directing, our friend Jay, responsible for sound. He wasn't mixing. Or no, he was mixing, and then he had brought a guy to boom for him. Our camera guy, Joe, director of photography, and then our actors.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
so
it.
So six people?
Right. Five people most days, six people other days. Uh-huh. Yeah, tiny.
So what's the average day for you guys look like on set? What's, you know, break it down. Because you guys live together, because you guys have an intimate knowledge of the script, are you blocking the scene sort of? Are you looking at every scene like step one, here we go, let's block it, let's take a fresh look at it? Or are you so in stride with each other that you're just kind of like, you're already in motion, you're already on the set and you're already in the scene? What's that look like?
I don't know. I feel like we set the food for everyone first. Everyone's fed and has something to drink. I don't know. I think I would like as far as like blocking and I would allow you and Joe to take care of most everything. I would totally make suggestions and be like, why don't we use this? Because I was, especially with continuity and the set, I guess we took the liberty or I wanted to decorate it because it was inherently, it's my apartment. It's ours now, but you know what I mean? I wanted to make the space Jorge's space and I wanted to take the authority to like, all right, set dressing and continuity was all me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was doing that just to like let go of the fact that they're directing and blocking camera and doing camera and then just relinquish that to them. I don't know.
We had also really done a lot of detailed storyboarding, lot of it with our DP. We had storyboarded Jorge and I on our own and then brought it to our DP and then he kind of like tweaked and made suggestions. So we went into it with a pretty tight shot list. Especially for the city, I feel like we held on to that a lot in the creek, shooting outdoors, a lot of it. Just because of time,
the
three shots got combined into one. And then we were like, oh, well, why don't we, you know, do half coverage on this person and then half on the other. But we went in kind of like with a pretty good idea each day of what it was going to look like. We had the luxury of location scouting beforehand, too, with our DP. So we brought him up here a month and a half before the shoot, went to the locations, took pictures, looked at it.
Yeah.
And then because it's outdoors too, a lot of it's like, okay, where's the light? Like where can we, you know, we just let it set itself up.
Natural light outside?
Yes. Yeah. All natural light outside just bounces.
A little, compensation, but no instruments.
No instruments outside.
LED, but not.
A little Amaran. Yeah. And then, and then indoors we, you know.
He created the whole thing. Yeah. Indoors is, that mood is the DP. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Yep. Nerd stuff, you guys shot with
a Sony A7S.
S. Yeah. And some things with a Canon 5D Mark IV.
Yeah.
Some
little
minor
B-roll-y
things. B-roll stuff, like the that part with the telescope that were like he and I like outside and on like a mountain hill or that is.
Oh, you were in California for that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, Yucca Valley.
Yucca,
California. And then a Phantom drone? We have a couple of Phantom drone shots
in there too,
And a GoPro.
And to go
from underwater. Yeah.
Nice.
Like an old school, like I think the first iteration of it, like.
Yeah, it works.
The DP had it. Works. And yeah. It works, man. Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah, that Sony shoots in the dark. That thing's amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's real good. And he uses Zeiss lenses.
Oh, yeah.
Like and, a nice vintage. Set. Yeah, they're pretty.
And it's
vintage glass. Did you have a look in mind when you set out? Did you shoot everything flat, like in log or in RAW, whatever that format
raw.
Is?
Mm-hmm. And, Sony S-Log.
Yeah, whatever their S-Log. Or
yeah, and it's still not colorized. It's still...
It's still flat.
And even for being flat.
It looks, especially the apartment stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? Yeah.
Yeah, he's set up a lot in advance and then...
So you guys, are you going to keep it sort of in that flat look that is popular these days, or do you have a look in mind?
I think the Earth stuff, because the movie takes place right like on the planet and then on Earth, I think we think that maybe it'll start... The Earth stuff will be pretty flat, and the planet will be quite vibrant, and then they may evolve throughout the movie.
And you went into the movie with that idea, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the different sort of like approximate colors of our locations too, right? Like the city stuff's all like, phosphorescent, gross, and then the nature is nature, so.
Yeah.
Spoken like somebody who lived in the city for a few years. Phosphorus and gross. People outside the city are like, oh, bright and vibrant.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah,
that is like kind of jaded.
Neon.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
It looks like Port Authority.
Well, yeah. Check out Port Authority.
So, how did a pigeon get underground?
Exactly.
They're trained. So, we've touched on the fact that this is like a very real, you wrote it with purpose. You know what I mean? Like you're experiencing these things, but your son's definitely old enough to recognize that himself. Did he have like questions for you? Did he have anything where he was like, "Hey, like, is this how you feel? Like, what's going on there? Like, how has this experience been for him through his eyes? Like, oh, what?" What's he experiencing being like, shit, maybe I need to spend more time with my dad.
I mean, he can't, it's the impotence, right? He can't, you know, he can't do much as far as that, other than saying, I want to live with my dad in New York. But yeah, there was a moment in which when we finished the first 23, 25 pages that I read it. I emailed it to him,
right.
And I was on the phone with him, and he started just crying. And I was like, "Are you there? Are you there?" And he's like just bawling because you know I'm. It's a very personal story, but it's also his story. So I'm kind of like violating like a seal of trust here, you know, to a degree. And there were like a couple of scenes that I'm, you know, when he finished reading it and he's just crying and I'm like, you know, I'm here for you and we will change it to whatever you want. Like, this is not your emotional safety is much more important than us doing a stupid movie. This is not. And there are two scenes actually that changed both in content and from there was supposed to be conversation, and we changed it to texting so that he didn't have to say those lines. He's like, I don't want to revisit that. So
there were things too that I think were in the original draft that we just ended up removing completely because they felt too personal to him.
It's also really emotionally mature for a kid his age to say like, I don't want to touch that right now.
Yes.
Right. Like I think at 13, I would have been like, oh, okay. Right. I guess I'll just read this. Like
dad is saying I should do this.
Yeah. Like I never would have thought, you know, to be that reflective about the whole thing.
I think too, because there are things in the movie that are conversations he's had with you that he maybe necessarily hasn't had with other people who will see the film.
Yeah,
and so, right, like to be outed.
Yeah,
you know, like in that way about whatever it is. I don't even remember exactly what the things.
Well,
there's
a conversation about God and about like what happens after death,
beliefs,
and stuff like,
and identity, relationship to being Puerto Rican, like his, you know, that. I think he was very candid with you when that came up, like in real life, the source material, in a way that, you know, was between him and you at the time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was kind of like combing through and figuring out which of those details just stay between us and what can be, you know, yeah. like kind of evolved into something that could be useful for the movie. But we definitely changed things based on that.
Yeah.
And you and I had a conversation about, you know, like what is important.
Yeah.
What do we need to tell the story? And it became a little less autobiographical, mm-hmm. I think, in subsequent drafts. Because we picked up like the little points that we felt were really important to keep and then kind of fictionalized around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a line to walk, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he was there the whole time, too. So at the end of the day, if he didn't want to say a line, he wasn't going to say it.
He could have,
yeah.
exactly.
On camera, yeah, he could have just not said it.
Did he ever get to, did he ever have that moment with him?
By the time we got to the final draft, I think he was pretty comfortable. Yeah. There were one or two things we had to talk about. But mm-hmm. by the time we got to the shooting draft, everything that was in there was something he had agreed to be in there. So it was
Has he seen the rough cut the way it is right now?
Yeah. We showed it to him in Joshua Tree.
With the additional stuff.
No, actually,
what you guys saw, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, how different is what we saw from what he has seen?
It's
like
pretty,
drastically different?
It's pretty different, I would say. And we've also, there's a newer cut than what you guys have seen, which includes like all of the text messaging and stuff.
And the voiceovers and whatever's.
But it's funny for him to watch because he's 14 now and he was 13 then, and his voice is completely different.
Yeah.
He's grown so much.
I've seen him, you know, this past week I've seen him. This is the first time I've seen him in about a year. And like at that age, there's such a difference that a year makes, you know.
Totally. We actually have to record a voiceover of him this week and then send it to our dialogue cleanup guy and be like, sorry, can you make him sound a little younger, pitch him up a little bit. Yeah, make him sound.
Is he 14? He's 14.
He's 14 now, yeah.
I met him on Last Frankenstein. He was 10.
Yeah, he was almost baby.
10.
Mm-hmm.
God, and now he's like a big
guy.
He's
almost as tall as me. Like, he's like
taller
five.
Than I am, I think.
Yeah,
so 5'8", so he's like 5'5", like something like that. Yeah.
Kids. I know. Yeah. It happens quick.
He's remained very open, like even going back to what we were saying, like about, you know, that avenue between him and I as, you know, father and son, like we still have those very deep, that's very us, like deep conversations, you know, politically inquisitive, just curious. He wants to know.
No, dude.
So luckily wasn't like truncated or wasn't tarnished like that, you know, cut.
You know, as an outsider watching your relationship, you can tell you guys have a great, you know, close relationship. And that's great. And I think it comes through in the movie, too, because even though there's that separation in the movie, you can tell the companionship that's there. And I think that's what really drives the story is, like, even though that separation's there, knowing that there's that want to be closer. And even though there are the moments where Jorge, the character, is feeling that Otto's being distant. You can tell, like, when it comes full circle. You know what I mean? That it just, that it was always there that whole time. It's just, it hits home. Like, you feel it. You know what I mean? So it's really cool to see, like, as someone who knows you personally and can watch that, I won't be able to watch it through the eyes of someone who doesn't know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, through the eyes of someone who does know you, it has almost like this even more, like it adds so much more to it. So it's really like a special thing to watch.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
It was important for us to like keep the because the story is about like conflict and distance. I think you have to fight that much harder to put the love in it because then otherwise, like, why does anyone care?
Yeah,
you know, like at the end of the day,
it just looks like a contentious relationship.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it helps when all that's built in.
Right. You really have to like and highlight it and let it live.
The device they use, that telescope, like two guys looking at the same star, you know, like 3,000 miles away, it was just a beautiful way to do it. You know.
Yeah.
Does he have any aspirations to go forward in performing, or how do you feel about that?
No, I mean, he says that he's like, I'll act. if it were only that easy.
These opportunities that just throw themselves at you.
Well, no, he wants to do claymation, like animation.
That's
like his thing, stop motion. And he's actually working on his first pilot for a TV series that he's shooting it right now, which is, you know, with clay. It's literally claymation, and
so
the story
cool.
is super compelling and hilarious, funny. He tries to put everything in there, which is just like at 14, like I wish at 14 I was that clear At 14, I didn't even know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's so clear with what he wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't know.
My daughter's writing a script right now, and it kills me. She's 12.
Oh, you
wow.
see?
Wow.
Mm. When I was 12 years old, I was just trying to find Playboys under the bridge.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Care, you know? Yeah.
And she's like 26 pages into some movie, you know, so it's script she's working
on. She's jealous, yeah.
What do you do? Yeah, it's great. It's great. Someday she's going to watch the dick jokes that I've been making for right. the last year.
It's going to happen.
I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for the phone call where you're like, Sean, we have to light it on fire.
Yeah, let burn it all down.
Yeah. We have to light it all
down. Burn everything in the room. You get like the order. Like when I die, I delete my internet history.
Yeah, we each have one
everything.
Key that initiates
yeah.
to turn the launch on. Sequence.
Right. The password is dildo spider.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So first feature that well, I guess it wasn't a feature, you know, on purpose, a purposeful feature, but first feature that you've written, first feature you've directed, right? And you chose to do it in the middle of nowhere and with a kid. So, yeah. Fucking, what are you guys out to prove? That's some ridiculous.
I guess you can do anything
shit.
Now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's a cakewalk after
that's
that.
Right. We were going to retire, actually.
Well.
No. No.
What's the plan going forward with it?
We're submitting to festivals.
Exactly.
We will have a rough cut at the end of August to submit to like the big three.
Yep.
That'll be like the first year while we're also finishing it. Cause you can submit like a mostly finished
work
version.
In progress, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're doing that, and then we're going to have a friends and family screening in November. And then depending on how those, I mean, it's impossible to get into the big festival. It's not impossible, but it's, you know, odds are against
it's hard.
You.
Yeah.
It's super hard.
It's a lottery ticket.
Like 14,000 submissions at Sundance for like 100 spots, something crazy.
Yeah. And then of those 100 spots, there's a specific, like a percentage of those spots that are Sundance Institute.
Exactly. And then also and like, right. like international, domestic, yeah. It's all broken up.
So it's like, yeah, you're competing for like 11 spots.
Yeah. And you don't have like Meryl Streep or Al Pacino in your movie. So there's that too.
There's that. But it's tough because like, you know, you just want to, when you're done
saying,
with it,
like,
you want to like show it. You want to get rid of it and like give it to people.
Yeah.
It feels so weird, especially because we both have big theater backgrounds. Like when you make it, you need to show it to the audience. Like that's when it's really a thing, right? Mm-hmm.
I think it's like important to abandon it at the right moment.
Yeah.
I feel like because I could tinker and tinker and tinker
totally.
Forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And just kill it. But I feel like it's good just to jump off the bike and ghost ride it and you know. So is that where you guys are at right now or are you still in kind of tinker mode? And
we're tinkering with a couple of pieces. We haven't heard our composer's working now and mm-hmm. he's very talented and someone who we trust a lot, but we haven't heard any of what's coming in. So that, and then there's a lot of tinkering to do with the animation of the text messages because they're also a character and they're not just like text slapped into frame. They're kind of interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just like a lot of Adobe After Effects, like a lot of.
Are you
going to
do like traditional text bubble type stuff? Like,
no. There are texts that are displaying on the screen, but like it depends on. So because we're from Jorge's perspective, when he's texting, you get like letter. If there's any deleting,
like type,
you get
type,
that.
Type. Mm-hmm.
And then they also appear kind of like in sort of composition with the shot. So instead of like always being slapped up in the right hand corner,
right.
They're interactive with the picture that was shot. So that's just a lot of extra tinkery stuff. But, like, story-wise, I think we're ready to, like, let it be what it is.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can just, you could do it forever and, you know.
Forever.
You got to let it go sometime.
Yeah, picture-wise, yeah, we're locked. Like, we can't, even our composer is like, do not even dare to touch this.
Yeah.
He's like, because he loves it and, you know, he's in Hollywood and he's like, listen, this is beautiful, this is poetry, you don't touch it. So, and also he's like, you know, if you keep tinkering, like somebody will fuck up eventually. No, like he put his foot down.
That's a really great bit of feedback is like, don't touch it.
Don't.
Yeah.
No.
And that's why it helps to like, we reached a point where we were kind of editing in circles and that's actually when we sent it to you guys. We had a horrible editing day. Like I was ready to cry. Everyone was so angry. And it was because we realized now, like we had reached the point where our three minds couldn't do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We couldn't go with it any further. We had to show it to other people and hear from the outside what is actually there, what's missing, what doesn't make sense. And
then you lose perspective super quick on a project.
Totally.
Especially like coming from a place where you guys are working on it from the script stage all the way through.
You don't just see what ended up on camera. You see like the whole setup of that shot, and you see like I got poison ivy that day. So like we have to use that footage. And, you know, so it's like out of our hands. It's picture locked, and we're just tweaking.
That's great. Yeah. Not a lot of comedy in the movie, but I can kind of relate to that feeling, like not thinking anything works, just watching and. Watching movies I've done and kind of losing perspective, and then watching it with people, you know, the night we show it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit, they're laughing. I forgot that was a joke.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. You forget completely. Oh yeah, that was supposed to be funny. Yeah. That was a joke, you know, a year ago when it was said the first time, but then at that point you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jorge laughs at himself a lot. So that's, I hope that people think the funny moments are half as funny as Jorge thinks they are.
Well, my men had to get pretty vulnerable in this picture.
Sure. Yeah, it's true. It could be nervous laughter. You know, I hadn't thought of that. You're right.
Yeah.
Otto does that. Otto watches himself and he's like, he starts laughing or he can't. He looks the other way. He's like, oh, I'm cringing. I can't take this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Take it. Maybe. I'm nervous. I don't know.
All right, you weren't wearing a lot of clothes towards the end of the flick.
No clothes.
Yeah.
In fact.
What was that like?
Do you want to send you a pic now? I have screenshots.
Oh, no.
I've saved
my I have a backlog
of your
log. Is it your
screensaver right now?
It might be.
Turn that
screen
on.
That's why it's off. Oh, no.
So what was that like, being in the RAW? Have you ever had to do that before, or was that the first time?
Not like that.
That's funny that they shot in log and raw, and he was in. Never mind.
He showed his
log in the raw. Anyway, sorry.
He can't help himself, guys. I'm sorry. I can only apologize for him so much.
If you think I'm bad, Otto will not give up a pun if he sees the chance.
Right?
That is
true.
That is true.
He will
pursue it till the end.
He sniped me out, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that. Damn,
professional.
Sorry, not to get off.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We just did it. I don't know. We had a big debate about it because we're like, all right, so what are we trying to say with the nakedness in this scene? And, I could hear in my head was Keeley saying, once they see it, they can't see any, their focus becomes toward that and then done. And then the scene is, you know, game over.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You're dong is what we're talking
about.
Just to be clear.
Talking about the ween,
Yes.
Like, it's like Chekhov's gun. Like, yeah, like if you see it, right?
You got to use it.
Yeah. And people aren't going to look away from it because they know you're going to use it.
Yeah.
And so
there was a whole cut scene where he uses it in the woods by himself.
Exactly.
He's just like, I just can't think straight. I got to go take care of this.
Give me had to let him
5 minutes.
Film it and then edit it all out. Yeah.
But no, I totally get what you're saying. Like, once you break that wall down, it's kind of like, that's all people are going to be like, did you see his dick?
Right.
Like, that's
and
all
also,
people
like,
are going to be thinking.
True. Is it going to come back?
That's true.
Like, am I, and you know. Like,
I think people go, well, now I'm watching an art film.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So, here we are.
Well, though.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
I'm surprised this didn't have subtitles.
It's become an art film.
Welcome to South by Southwest, folks.
Right. Exactly. Sundance.
We edited a lot of peeing out, by the way.
Did you?
We did, and that was one of our most stressful shoot days, but I was insistent that we got everything. Both, like, if they wanted to film it fully naked, great. And then we also had to do, like, wean up so that we had the options.
Safety.
And then it turned out, and I hope it isn't just me that felt this way, but I really do think, like, I think we show it and it's there. You know he's totally naked, but then it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not distracting.
Yeah, because I was worried. And if we had used the other shots, it definitely would have been.
Listen, no, I don't mean it like that. I mean, goddamn, Jorge, that is distracting. You
got
so distracting. Yeah.
You have a distracting piece of equipment, sir.
No, but to be fair, I am so glad you gave me a heads up, though.
Oh, yeah, true.
Just because I know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it was like, the fuck, I wish they told me, like, that this was happening.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't know you, it would have been a totally different, like, oh, okay, it's one of these movies.
Right.
But, like, that's
one of these
one of these movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was, but there's a very high likelihood I will not go to the friends and family screening.
Just because you don't want to sit next to my family.
That's exactly why. That's 100% why.
Is your dad
going
to be there?
Yeah, probably.
Listen.
Really?
I had a hard enough time watching The Week Of with the family in the room.
There
because
was
there was
only
some
cursing.
There was some language.
Some content.
The content too. Yeah.
You you want to? I mean, there's people listening that don't know what the what you're talking about.
I'm gonna get there, but okay. So Jorge was in a film last year. Did it shoot last year too, or shot in 2017?
2017.
And then came out spring last year, spring summer last year,
April whatever of last. Last
Adam Sandler Netflix movie The Week Of. So we were very excited, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so everybody came over to our house to watch it because we are like the one.
And there's his dick.
People that have Netflix.
I was shirtless though. They made sure that my shirt was off.
Well, the very first line, and I believe you say, is "fuck."
I don't remember. Do I?
Yes. I think your very first line is "fuck." And I was like, great. Now I have to hear about that. And I think your dad even said at one point, like, language. Like, I was like.
But it's an Adam Sandler.
I'm just saying. So there's a very good chance if I do attend, I will be by the door. And I will have to go to the bathroom.
Great.
At that point.
I mean, my mom and my sister saw Planet B-234. And I gave them wean warnings. It's funny, actually, that most of our test audience is related to me.
Yeah.
Saw your wean.
Kieran won't watch it.
Kieran won't watch it.
She won't watch it.
Yeah.
Like, she was going to watch it with me. Really? She was going to watch the rough cut with me. And she's like, I can't do it.
But.
Can't see his peener.
Yeah.
It's because of the penis.
It's just very difficult
because I don't know, because I guess like it's that moment in the film, I feel that we I don't know if I'm giving too much away, but like
No. Okay, but here's the thing. It's because we know you.
We're in his head.
Anybody who doesn't know you, it's a totally different situation.
It's just like a random peen.
Yeah, it's just some
Is it random?
It's literally like just because we know who you are.
Oh, okay.
That's literally okay. Anybody who doesn't know you or anything like can separate you from your dick, I guess.
Right. Okay.
Because they don't have to interact with you, but people who know you have to interact with you.
Puritanical? Like
is that going to be weird?
I don't even think about that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, good for you. I don't know.
It's very cosmopolitan.
It would stress me out. If everybody in a room had seen my dick and then I had to go talk to them afterward, I wouldn't be
the
able to.
The singular
do that.
Shame.
I mean, I don't know, because that's theater and
you're
it's
used
just
to it. Like you're more comfortable.
Kind of like, all right, this is, all right, here we go. Yeah. Like, it's a body.
That's great.
I don't know if, like, I don't want to differentiate between, like, oh, well, I'm this and you guys are that, but it's just like, I don't know if, like, European cinema is, like, more, you know, it's like, okay. This is what's up.
It's not a big
deal. Then the first 35 minutes of the film are these two going at it, and it's just all right, normal life. But then, I mean, I don't know if like.
But are you making this for European audiences, or are you making this for
all audiences? I mean, I don't know. Mainly, it'll be the United States,
right?
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, it's just a cultural thing. I mean, I had a job. I remember having this job with these Europeans, and we were like the first night I was working out there with them on the road. We ended up having to stay in one giant hotel room together, and they immediately got naked and fucking went to sleep. And one of them was a guy from Barcelona, and the other guy was a guy from Germany. And then they turned around and saw me and my buddy, who were just like, the fuck is going on here at 20 years old? You know what I mean? And then they you know, it's kind of like, oh, look at these Puritan Americans. This is funny. So, and that was the name of the game. The rest of that whole year was just, let's see how we can fuck with these puritanical Americans, you know? So at some point, I don't even know if it's us. I just think we were founded by Puritan pilgrims.
And I don't disagree with you about the fact that, like, I don't think nudity itself is inherently shameful or should be hidden. But just, I'm saying, like, are you really going to change people's minds with one movie? And if not, what experience do you want them to have? Like, if your audience is largely people who are going to see a dick and that's all they're going to think about and they're going to feel scandalized, is that what you want them to walk away from your movie feeling? Like, are you teaching them a lesson about nudity? Or is nudity in the story, but you're going to present it in a way that they can take the story away?
I don't think that line is as fine as that, though.
What do you mean?
I think anybody who's going to feel upset or offended or just be upset about, I think anybody who's going to feel that way, it doesn't matter how you do it.
Right.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think if you have a flash of ween versus like you were watching it for 20 minutes and you're supposed to be like listening to a story and there's a penis in the frame.
Oh, right.
You know
right,
what
right.
I mean? Yeah. Like, that's totally why I was that. Saying totally. Like there's flip like, it in there, but you're not going to change anyone's minds.
Right. There's scenes of Game of Thrones, for instance, that right. it's like that's there solely just to get people to start watching the show.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, once you bring a dick to a party, it's a once whole different story.
Somebody put his dick out. Great. Now it's one of those parties. And so, like, I think it works because it shows that vulnerability. It's not exactly what it is. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
And I don't think
I think if anybody's going to have a problem with it, they're going to have a problem with any nudity in any movie at any point
right.
at all. So taking it out or leaving it in does nothing.
Right. I guess my thought is, because I've seen the other shots and how much dick is in those, and I fought really hard to keep them out. You right. are seeing the littlest bit of dick that this movie could have had.
Jorge, she doesn't mean it like it's
you
not,
are.
But there's so much of it in the moments that it's there. Right.
Putting
it
down.
No, I just don't think I agree with you, Keeley. But then I just don't think that it's fair to compromise how we're trying to tell this story and what's happening to this character in this moment with, damn, like, you know, when people see this, oh, fuck, like, they're going to be, you know, they're going to disengage because of this. I don't know if, like, I'm not being altruistic or I'm not being all, oh, you know, I'm not trying to be in my high horse. I'm trying to say I don't think it's fair to compromise how I want to tell the story, how we want to tell
movie,
the story,
the way you guys want to tell it, then who gives a shit?
That is what I.
That's it. That's all.
Think, and you did the right thing. It's the right call as far as like
there are decisions cutting you need out to make where you cut things
because we had a lot of it, but. You did that. I completely agree.
I don't mean to giggle.
It's a podcast. It's called Hard On.
I was going to say, we have a quota, and I think we hit our 10 minutes
pretty
of dick
brand,
talk.
Right?
So we're fine.
Yeah.
We have a quota.
We have a quota. We do have a quota on dick talk.
That's good.
So next step is festivals. The movie is Planet B, 234. 234, 234. Because it said 234 in the film. But
yeah, we had this conversation the other day because we were imagining B234 the whole time. And then in the stress of the day where we shot when Yoko says B234, we didn't catch her saying it to correct her. And then we were just recording voiceover, and our voiceover person was like, is it 234 or 234? Let's go with 234 for right now.
234 seems like very cold and scientific.
Cool. Let's do that.
Four. Kind of robotic almost.
Yeah.
Planet B234. And then people in the know when it becomes like, you know, this cult following like thing where they're going to call it 234
because
they're like in the know. This is
slang.
That's the slang way to.
Cool.
So
are you guys writing something now? Are you transitioning to the next project?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
We're like looking at who wants to talk about
it. We are, but it's something else that I think we'll probably shoot around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love some upstate New York.
Yeah.
It's very green and cold sometimes.
Sometimes.
You get everything, a little bit of everything up here.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
Cold. Hot and freezing.
Yeah.
A little poison
sometimes
90.
In the same day.
A lot of poison ivy.
A lot, yeah.
For me, at least.
So that people can like... are you still raising money or no longer?
We're no longer raising money. I know some people do post-production things.
Right.
They do, but...
That's probably smart. But we're not. We just, we drained all of our money sources. Yeah. Thank you for supporting us.
But where can they find currently where, like, what you're working on? I know you guys on Instagram, stuff like that.
So. Yeah. We're both, so the movie's on Instagram at PlanetB234.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the website is planetb234.com. I'm on Instagram at Keeley Sheridan.
And I am at Jorge Luna DJ. I used to be a DJ, so I'll keep that forever.
We know.
Yeah.
I guess they
we
do.
We know you're
we
a.
All
we know that you used to be
Jorge.
A DJ. We know. We know you're from Puerto Rico.
And the trailer's up too. Should be known that you guys can go check out the trailer. It's on the website, yes?
So, fun fact, that was our crowdfunding video.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
And none of that footage made it into the movie.
That was shot in 2000.
No shit.
Yeah. We have 17? Not yet cut a trailer.
A
we really
ago.
Should do that. But thank you, Jay, actually.
Sure.
We're going to work on cutting a trailer.
Sure.
Just got us to do it. No, that was all our crowdfunding. We shot that in our apartment to have a video.
Yeah, it looks great.
Thank you.
I shot that. Thank you.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Sean, what else we got? We got anything else for these guys?
On the docket, no. I think I've checked all my boxes.
All right, very good.
How do you feel?
I feel pretty good about the whole goddamn thing. Yeah.
It's good to know. So shout out to your, you can find your DP. He's online doing stuff.
Yeah.
And what about like your,
producer sound,
the guy doing the score, like all that.
Yes.
Yes.
So our DP is Joe Spitt. Mm-hmm. Jorge's pulling up the phone right now to find people's Instagram handles. Our composer is Cesar
Davila Rizarri,
who composed the theme song for American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Oh shit. He's,
yeah. And he went to high school with Jorge. Yeah.
F and A.
Puerto Rico.
That's why he's
doing it.
That's why I'm doing it, just because we were friends. Man.
Right.
But I won't give you the American Horror Story.
Does he make it very clear to that? He's like, I'm only doing this because we knew each other.
Kind you guys of, cannot afford us.
He's very dark.
He's nice about it.
So he lives in a very dark place, which it works really well for his creative world.
Sure.
But yeah, I love him to death. He's great. Would this be the handle? I don't know. I'm
yeah.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
boy,
yeah.
This is like the you're gonna be sorry you asked. Go ahead,
really?
Jorge.
So at Cesar Davila Irizarry with two.
You hear
R's.
How white he said that?
Irizarry. How do you want
Cesar Davila?
Yeah, Cesar Davila Irizarry.
That felt like condescending. Almost.
Yeah, really.
Cesar.
I mean,
and then Joe is at Joe Spitt, I think. And then Jay Friedman Mendez at Omega J Sound, I think.
Right. We'll put that shit in the show
notes. Joe Spitt 137.
Show notes.
Joe Spitt 137.
Show notes it, because we're butchering it all.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did it. You went out and you made your own movie. And
thanks,
that
man.
It is really super stupid hard to do.
Yeah.
Every step of the way. It's a miracle that any of them get done at all, let alone have them be done and be good. And I'm happy to say that this is a good movie from the rough cut I watched. So,
Jay,
you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the actual thing. You guys should be very proud.
Thank you.
And we look forward to supporting you and supporting the next one.
Thanks, man.
So get on that shit.
Also, thanks,
there's
Sean.
No rest.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Get on it.
Oh, before we cut off.
Yeah.
Right before we left to come here, Keely found something.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
So my stepmom is like, hey, we have this cedar chest. I think it has some things in it that belong to you. You might want to go through and look and see if you want them before I get rid of them. And I was like, they're probably not mine. They probably are from someone else. And so I opened it, and guess what I found?
Can't imagine.
Do you remember in the other one when we had to do some reshoots like months after the fact, and I couldn't find any of my costume pieces?
Yes, and we had to have the stunt jacket.
And I had to
order and
replace all of it and like try to make it look like it. That fucking costume.
Come on.
Tonight, I was
how
like, Sean,
hell?
Check this out. The shoes.
Like literally as we're walking
jumper,
out the door.
The whole thing.
Holy shit, the jumper. That's right, the black jumper.
Yep. So if you want to reshoot it again.
Yes, we should totally do that. We should totally
the actual
you
costume.
Can't tell.
You
no,
can't.
Right. Scene looks great. No.
That's crazy.
But anyways,
Doc.
It's there.
Wow, full circle.
That's right.
Full circle. I'm telling you, one of these days, Sean, someone is going to do something, and they are going to pay us handsomely to make all these movies disappear.
That's what we're hoping.
HGS.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, we just want some. Yeah,
we just want
yes,
hush money. We
yes.
make movies to get hush money.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the whole
yeah.
thing.
Right.
So
there's a couple people in this one we're really hoping make it big.
Yep.
Elsewhere, and then they'll call us up and be like, "Listen, you need to make this movie go away."
I expect a call from a lawyer
with
at
pleasure.
Some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
For.
Like an agent. Somebody makes us a real, what they
six
consider low ball
figures.
Offer. And yeah. then we shriek, oh my God. We're very excited.
Yes.
And then we take it right away.
Absolutely.
You know,
first
against,
offer.
Yep. Just you just jump on it. I'm yeah. not going to see that kind of money again. It's generational wealth as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. We'll see. All right. PlanetB234.com.
Can you play the thing?
Also, I'm playing it right now, Sean, and you don't have headphones. So
I don't have
you
headphones
can't
on. I don't know. It's been playing this whole time?
No.
Did it end already?
I literally just started it.
Oh,
fuck. God damn it.
Hey, facebook.com/hardonpodcast, at hardonpod on Twitter, hardonpodcast.com, where you can catch every single episode of this if you hit the episodes button. And also on iTunes and Spotify and
all those other fine podcast places.
Now enough about their shit. Talk about our shit.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Need to end this thing on the right foot. That is it for this week on Hard Up Podcast. I'm Sean Barnes, here with Keely Sheridan, Jorge Luna, and
Jaylen. Hey, girl. Sean.
Yes.
Was it good for you?
It was great for me. How about you?
Four-way action.
I can't beat it. Oh. Keely and Jorge wanted to make sure to thank their executive producer, Ian Weintraub, for his generous contribution to the film.
Shout out!
As well as their friends, family, and creative community who contributed to their Indiegogo campaign to fund the film.